And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I hope you're having a wonderful day today. You know, I do this morning what I call now Wisdom Awakening. This is the Awakening, but the Wisdom Awakening I do online, live stream, every morning, Monday through Friday at 8:30. And this morning I was talking about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead and how Jesus says to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And remember, she had been saying, "Oh yeah, Lord, I know you'll raise him up at the last day," and you know, just basically deflecting Jesus' present tense talk, "I am the resurrection, Martha. I am the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Yeah, I know, Lord, in the last day, I know, you know. And he just kept trying to bring her into the present. And this is my thought as I open. You know, God doesn't just want to wait until we get to heaven for good things to happen. He wants to do things for us in the rotten here and now. He wants to make our lives better here. And he was trying to get that across to her, and she just wasn't hearing that. It was all, "Yeah, I know one of these days in the sweet by and by." And look, praise God for the sweet by and by, folks. I am looking forward to it. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I preached a message in which I talked about what just what little insight we have of what the resurrection will be like. And it is going to be glorious. But, you know, we need help here now, because we won't need any help there. You know, I mean, really, everything will be perfect. And right now, it's far from perfect. So here's where we need the help. And God wants to step in and help us. I just think a lot of times we sort of put God's help off to some future, distant, otherworldly time, you know, the eternity, rather than understanding that God is not bound by time, space, or anything else, and he is perfectly capable of helping us right here, right now. That's one of the things that makes me so hopeful about where our country is ultimately going, because I know that God is still on the throne. The Bible says Romans 11, 9-11, I think, 8-11, well, I'll find it. But it says the gifts and the calling of God are without revocation. In other words, once God's given something, once he provides something, God does not take it back. We human beings can reject it, but God does not take it back. And I believe this country is a gift from God. I really do. I believe that this nation was ordained by Almighty God, and that what happened to birth the United States of America is bigger than George Washington and bigger than Thomas Jefferson and bigger than Patrick Henry and James Madison and John Adams and Samuel Adams and just going down the list. It's bigger than all of them combined. This is the work of Almighty God. That I believe this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And I just believe with every fiber of my being that God is not going to allow a bunch of confused, demonic people who don't even know who they are, let alone who we are and who God is, to take this country down. As long as we, God's people, will stand up, as long as we will fight the good fight of faith, as long as we will take to the metaphorical battlefield, if you will. Here again, I'm talking about guns and rifles and swords. I'm talking about the spiritual battlefield by stepping up, so standing up, stepping up, and speaking up, and refusing to back down. I really believe we're going to see a great, great breakthrough in this country. And we may be witnessing the beginning of it right now with all of the overreaching that these leftists are doing. I'm sure you all heard about this Grace Church today. They've decided that they're going to do away with allowing their children, allowing the children now, to refer to their parents as mom and dad. Yeah, this is a school in New York. No more of that. We are woke. So no more mom and dad stuff. That's passé. We've got to, they to say, instead of mom and dad, you will refer to your parents and your family as grown-ups, folks, family. So when you come to school and you say, are you going to the dance or are you going to the game? You can't say, my dad won't let me, or my dad has something else for me to do, or my mom has something else she wants me to do. You have to say, my grown-ups, or my folks, or my family. You may not use gender-specific descriptions of your parents. That's verboten now. No. We cannot have that. And this is a private school, by the way. This is a private school. But here again, this stuff has infected every institution that is not rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And even though it's called Grace Church School, it clearly has left Grace and Church a long time ago. And no Merry Christmas either. Happy holidays or have a great break. They might as well just say, have a great break with reality, because they clearly already have. Have a great break. You may say, here are the prescribed words you may use in this wonderfully free country. We do need people to tell us exactly what words to use and tell our children exactly what words they may use. And no references to boys and girls or guys or ladies or gentlemen. No, that's out. You may refer to people, to folks, to friends, and I don't get these two, to readers and to mathematicians. In other words, I guess if the teacher standing in front of the class and is teaching something that requires the students to read, the teacher may not say, well, ladies and gentlemen, the teacher may say, readers, let's read. But the teacher may not say, ladies and gentlemen, let's read. And if you're teaching math, you may not say, which of you, ladies and gentlemen, can answer this problem, can solve this problem. No, you may say, mathematicians, which of you may solve this problem, because you may not refer to them with gender specificity. This is insane. And not only is it insane, it is really a violation of the First Amendment freedoms of these students. And I know people say, well, that's a private school. They can do whatever they want to do. Yeah, but you know, the First Amendment is not just a legal rule. It is a cultural norm for our country. In other words, we believe in this country in freedom of speech, whether something ever goes to the Supreme Court or not. And this is a complete violation of a cultural norm that we, you know, America does have a culture of its own, you know. And all of these people talking about cultural appropriation, these idiots running around telling, whoa. Is that a Hispanic garment you're wearing? Ooh, you just engaged in cultural misappropriation. Oh, wait, is that an Italian song you're listening to or playing at your, that's, you know, you've just engaged. Of course, I think if it's European, they probably don't care. But if it's not, then, you know, then it's cultural appropriation. If it's any of the quote unquote people of color, I mean, this stuff is just, that's what's going on in the institutions of our country. And frankly, that's why I know God is going to pour out his spirit and we're going to have an awakening in this country, because you can't crawl into every nook and cranny of the country and try to straighten things out. It's going to require some kind of cosmic answer that causes situations like this to correct. You know, and once that happens en masse or in some dramatic way or based upon something, and I can't frankly divine what that something might be. That's in the hands and the mind of God. But once it happens, then we'll be responsible for holding fast to the new grasp on reality. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Although it is difficult to predict the future, there are many trends that we see coming. That is the premise of the book Seven Gray Swans, written by Chuck Bentley. A black swan is an extremely unpredictable event that is beyond what is normally expected. By contrast, a gray swan is an obvious danger we tend to ignore. He describes seven gray swans that are on his radar right now. The first is universal basic income. Before you scoff at the idea that this might be implemented, consider that you probably have received a stimulus check in the mail. A second gray swan is digital currency. We seem headed for a cashless society, but will we lose all privacy when every transaction can be tracked? And for that to be effective, we will likely have to use biometric IDs. A third concern is modern monetary theory. We have politicians in office and a number of economists that tell us that deficits don't matter. Government can spend as much as it wants. Money is being created out of thin air. American democratic socialism is a fourth gray swan. As I've mentioned in previous commentaries, younger Americans often prefer socialism over capitalism. Two more gray swans are social scoring and biometric identification. This has already been implemented to a great degree in China as a policing tool to evaluate commitment to the party. It is also a powerful source of control over free speech. A final gray swan is the existence of fragile networks. Have you ever had your confidential data compromised? Are your networks that you use safe and secure? I encourage you to get this Crown Financial ebook and pay attention to these dangers on the horizon. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. pointofview.net.
Christians, they're suffering big time in Africa, and they need our help. Hi, this is Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and Pastor Lumo ministers in Mozambique near the Indian Ocean. He's been beaten in jail, not for what he believes, but for how he lives out his faith. You see, Lumo has been quietly and faithfully sharing the gospel with Muslims, and many have come to Christ in recent months, but extremists here, they have assaulted him, his family, and many in his church. But you know what? They're not asking for an end to the persecution they face. They're praying for Bibles to open and read every day in order to be able to endure and persevere as new followers of Christ. Hey, give thanks if your pastor hasn't been beaten in jail, but please don't turn a deaf ear to these pleas for Bibles. Instead, help support the church in Africa by sending a Bible to these waiting Christians at only $5 a Bible, or $100 sends 20. Call 800-YES-WORD, 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 or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, and God bless you for caring.
Brian Fisher here. How do Latinos along the border feel about Joe Biden's wide-open immigration policy? Cities are requiring grocery stores to pay an extra $4 an hour in hero pay to workers. A Democrat gets it on cancel culture. Lauren Boebert tells Nancy Pelosi what to do about her fort. And America faces a crisis of masculinity next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Now, what I'm about to get into, some people would dismiss as tinfoil hat thinking and conspiratorial thinking, which I don't traffic in. I try to avoid getting involved in anything like that because I just think it's often lazy thinking. We've got to get facts and information and data that helps us to make rational judgments about things, not based on rumor and innuendo, but based on what we actually know. China has just launched what they are calling their vaccine global database for vaccine passport system. And they are urging the World Health Organization, which is not yet acceded to this, but they're urging the World Health Organization to allow them to run a worldwide vaccine passport system to use China to do this, which would mean that they would need access to and the cooperation of countries to give them access to every person in the world. Yeah, that's what China's asking for, to be of help to us, of course. I mean, they want to help us. And the World Health Organization has so far resisted these invitations, but I'm sure all of you know that the World Health Organization has been controlled by China for quite some time. And if that control continues, I have a feeling that sooner or later, WHO will find a justification for turning this over to them. Now, I trust that we would have leadership in our country that would say, no, we're not participating in that. I know that President Donald Trump would never participate in anything like that. I do not have that confidence with regard to President Biden, because I really believe that he is bought lock, stock, and barrel by Communist China. I think that they are responsible for much of the wealth of his family. And he himself has said, you know, they're not going to eat our lunch. Are you kidding me? And they're good folks. These are brutal communist dictators. They are totalitarianists. I am told by people who are experts on China that Xi Jinping has set himself up like a Mao Zedong, that there are giant pictures and statues of him around China, that he has made himself a god. And what he says in China goes. It is a typical, brutal, Stalinist-like, totalitarian regime. And the very thought of giving them access to all of our data, people all over the world, ought to give everybody the willies. Frankly, I don't think any country needs that information. I don't think any entity needs that information. I think big tech shouldn't have that kind of information. But the idea of a regime that does not value the individual in the least. I mean, people disappear in China all the time, and nobody better raise an eyebrow. You might disappear too. Now, you know, they're already running this social credit system that allows them to track. I don't know whether they've got the entire system in place yet, but the goal is to be able to track every single one of the 1.2 or 1.3 billion Chinese people and to be able to rate them based upon their behavior in what they call their social credit system. Which, if you do well in the social credit system, you get rewarded by the Chinese Communist Party. If you do poorly, you get denied certain benefits. You may be denied an apartment that you need, or you may be denied getting a ration of meat sufficient to feed you and your entire family. And this is totalitarian torture of people, based upon whether or not they are in favor with the Communist Party. And, you know, we talk about the mark of the beast and that kind of thing. And just think about this for a second, because those people who are monitoring the program say, oh, yeah, those crazy Christians, here they go. But just think about this for a second. When the Word of God, the New Covenant, was written 2,000 years ago, And the Apostle John wrote in the Revelation about the mark of the beast, that no one would be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast, that he himself would effectively preside over the entire world and all of its commerce. People reading that at that time, or reading that really for the next 16, 17, 1800 years, what would be their thought? Their thought would be, how in the world is he going to track every person in the world? I mean, how could that happen? And if you're a believer, you say, well, God says it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I can't imagine how that could happen. We are living in the age where it is technologically possible to track every human being on the face of the earth. And yet that was written 2,000 years ago. When people it would have been unimaginable to think how that could happen, because people didn't even know who was where in the rest of the world. Now we know where everybody pretty much is. And you've got China making a play. And as far as I'm concerned, spiritually, I'm sure they don't see it this way, but from a spiritual perspective, I see them as making a play to pave the way for the coming of the Antichrist, to set up this worldwide system that the Antichrist can step into that will allow him to only reward people who have sworn allegiance to him and to punish those who have not. Well, I don't trust the World Health Organization. I certainly do not trust Communist China. And here again, that is not a statement of racism or hatred against Chinese people. It is a statement of opposition to the Communist Chinese regime. And why leftists can't make that distinction, I do not know. I mean, I know that they're intellectually challenged. I'm serious. And I don't mean to be smart about that. But clearly they are, because they lack wisdom. And so their intellect, you know, your intellect can't take you farther than wisdom will allow. That's why even the people like Stephen Hawking that they swear by, Stephen Hawking, you know, is supposed to be the smartest man in the world. And Stephen Hawking, when asked, how did the universe come to be? You know what he says? It created itself. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But because it's Stephen Hawking and he says something dumb, oh, wow, that's deep. That's profound. Ooh, wow. No, it's dumb. And when you don't see, when you don't have God, you just go stupid. And you could, you know, you could name any number of instances where so-called smart people are saying very, very dumb things and then expecting everybody to go along with it because they carry some degree or because they are at some university or because somebody has dubbed them brilliant. And you just look at them and say, but that's stupid. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So this stuff is beyond the pale. And I think it's just the kind of thing that the American people need to keep our eyes on, because frankly, I think that the Biden administration would go along with something like this. Oh, we can trust them. Oh yeah, we'll monitor them closely while they sell the American people's data to our sworn enemy. And make no mistake about it, folks. This regime, not the Chinese people necessarily, but this regime is the sworn enemy of the United States of America, and we'd be foolish to deny that. I think they see themselves as establishing domination over the United States of America without ever having to fire a shot, because we're going to do it ourselves, because they're going to buy their way into our country, buy up our people, and before you know it, people will be kowtowing to the Chinese because their wealth depends upon it. Their income depends upon it. I mean, that seems far-fetched. It's already happening. I mean, we got Joe Biden all tied up with the Chinese. We've got Mitch McConnell all tied up with the Chinese. And, you know, this is one of the things I think needs to happen. I've said this before, and I don't know. It's certainly not going to happen with this regime, with this administration. We need to have an audit. I would call it a national security audit, meaning that we need to trace every dime that is spent by the Communist Chinese in our country and determine to what extent the relationships they've established, the spending that they are doing, compromises America's national security. And I guarantee you, we'd be surprised at what we find. See, because in my view, to the extent that China tries to control the narrative about America by influencing our colleges, our universities, our media outlets, that's a national security issue to me. Because what it does is it undermines the morale of the American people and the values that hold us together. Unlike their society, the American culture is not held together by force. We're held together by a common set of values, or at least we used to be. Communist China is held together by the gun. And if they get their way in America, we'd be under the same system. And they would be pulling the strings. Back in a moment to take your calls.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
The 13-year-old youngster was on his way home to a small, modest farmhouse in Kansas. but he skinned his knee in a briar patch. It wasn't much to fuss about, just a small scratch. He went on home and went about his chores without mentioning it to his parents. The next day he noticed that his ankle was swelling a little and that his leg was a little sore, but he still didn't mention it as he went about his farm duties. The next morning, the leg was in bad shape, and when his parents came in from town that afternoon, they immediately sent for the doctor. After the doctor had examined the leg and saw the danger, he muttered to the parents that there wasn't much chance to save the leg. The youngster didn't quite understand what the doctor meant, so he asked him. And the doctor said there was a very strong possibility that they would have to amputate the leg. "No, you won't," cried out the boy. "You won't cut off my leg. I would rather die." Well, the doctor looked at the boy and became kind of irritated with his attitude. He stepped outside the door and was talking with the parents when the boy's voice called out, Ed, come here." The older brother, hearing the cries of the boy, went past the doctor and the parents into the room. They listened as the boys talked. "Ed, if I go out of my head and lose my senses, don't you let them do it. Don't let them cut off my leg while I'm unconscious. Promise me, Ed. You've got to give me your word." Well, the doctor didn't hear much more of the conversation because he began talking to the parents again. "That's just about like a bunch of foo boys," he said. Shortly after that, Ed came out of the room. He stood in the door, legs spread apart and arms folded. The message was clear. The leg would not come off. The doctor tried to talk to the parents, but they told the doctor they would look at the leg again that night. They did look at the leg again, and it was worse. The boy's fever went up, and the doctor told them that if he didn't amputate, there was a strong possibility the boy would die. But Ed stood his ground, staying in the door around the clock. He'd given his word. The family, realizing Ed's determination, began to pray for the boy's leg to heal. The family were devout Christians. Mother and father, then Ed, and finally the other four brothers all took turns praying. Throughout the night, there was someone praying. When morning came and the doctor looked at the leg, he saw a sign that the leg was beginning to heal. The swelling was going down. Well, in a few days, the leg was completely healed, and the young farm boy was back at his chores and hobbies. Years later, when Dwight David Eisenhower was elected President of the United States, a reporter remarked to his mother that she must be mighty proud of her son. With Ed in mind, her reply was, "Which one?" Simple faith is sometimes stronger than medical science.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Amen, Brother Don. And that's exactly why we cannot simply take what we're told and obey the command, follow the science, listen to the scientists, follow the science. Because, for one thing, they've often been wrong, said one thing and then said another. And for another thing, faith is stronger than science because God created the laws of science, and God is stronger than science. In fact, I have a men's group that meets every Wednesday night, and we were talking about the fact that we can rely on the laws of the universe. We can rely on gravity, for example. Airplanes fly relying on the law of lift. But Jesus violated the laws of the universe, proving that God is not bound by those laws, but transcendent. And when Jesus walked on water, he was violating the law of gravity. He was violating the law of spatial displacement. There are probably some laws he was violating that I don't even know about, but he is the maker of the laws. And therefore, when the time comes, God knows how to suspend them in order to do what he wants to do. So, yeah, we don't submit ourselves to science. as in blind faith, we submit ourselves to God in full faith and confidence that science and scientists can fail, but God never does. The number is 888-589-8840. One other thing I want to bring up, and then I'm going to come right to your calls and get to them in this segment. You know, every now and then, and more frequently here lately, I've been hearing about this idea that there is a major spike in violence against Asians because of coronavirus and because of China. And I've never brought that up on this program before, not because I don't care about those kinds of things, but I have to tell you, I do take those kinds of reports with a grain of salt because I know the motivation on the left to prove to the world that America is a racist, violent place and people are busy persecuting and hurting others based on the color of their skin and all of that. And I need proof, and I haven't seen it as yet, particularly when the FBI tells us that white supremacists are a problem. But last year we had over 500 riots, and they weren't by white supremacists. I'm not supporting white supremacy, mind you, but I'm not supporting black supremacy either, or Antifa, or Black Lives Matter, or any of these crazy leftists who attack police stations and attack federal buildings and attack people in their cars and go on people's property and threaten them and demand that they abandon their houses and let them take it over and reparations and all this craziness. And yet we're told by the FBI that it's the white supremacists that are the problem, even though I haven't seen any riots by white supremacists. I believe they're in the process of trying to prove that the Capitol attack that took place on January 6th was in fact something that was concocted by, conspired by white supremacists rather than regular Trump supporters who had come out to hear the man speak, hear the former president speak, and then go on about their business. But at any rate, that aside, I want to know, is there anybody listening to me right now? Have you seen any evidence of this? Do you sense it? Because I don't. And that doesn't mean it's not real. I can't prove that by my own sense of, you know, my own experiences, because I don't know a lot of Asian people. I'm not out a lot, you know, sort of moving around neighborhoods. I do travel quite a bit, but I don't know. I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical. And I think this may be part of China's misinformation. See, how about that kind of misinformation and disinformation? You believe this, that Twitter took Newt Gingrich off Twitter, but Louis Farrakhan's still on Twitter? I mean, for all I know, this is disinformation by China, once again, to prove the narrative that America's a bad place, America's a racist place, so that they can buy off our citizens and get them to believe that communist China is a much, much better place than America, and we would do well to submit ourselves to them. I don't know. I mean, that may be taking the analysis a bit too far, but one, I don't doubt that communist China is trying to feed into the narrative that America is racist and that America is mistreating Asians, even though they're claiming, of course, China's claim, we had nothing to do with coronavirus. It didn't even start here. Well, that's a lie out of the pit of hell. Of course it started there. We all know that. It's undeniable. It's indisputable, really, but they're disputing it anyway. All right, the number is 888-589-8840. Let's get a couple of your calls in. Let's go to Randy in Texas. Randy, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, Bishop. Sorry to take subjects on you, but yesterday you were talking about the canceling of Dr. Seuss, and something I have thought of. You remember the book, Horton Hears a Who?
Yes, I do remember that book. I do, yes.
Okay, so it's basically, if I guess for listeners don't know, Horton's the elephant, hears a voice on the speck, and realizes, hey, this is people on here, puts it on a clover, try to protect it. The kangaroo get with some monkeys in the jungle, say he's crazy, try to take it away from him, threw it in a field of clovers, and Horton goes through and these miles and miles of clovers and actually refines the speck. Then they capture it again and they're going to burn it in oil until they got everybody on the speck to yell loud.
Okay, Randy. Randy, what is the point of this? Because you can't tell the whole Dr. Seuss story. I think we get the gist.
The thing I thought of, the reoccurring theme is in there is a person is a person no matter how small. And
yes.
Just imagine what that's like to the community of supporting abortion. I'm surprised they didn't cancel that one, because really, it really goes down to a person is a person no matter how small, no matter how significant, no matter how you can't hear or can't see, they're still created in the image of God.
All right, Randy, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it, and I appreciate you defending Dr. Seuss a little bit, because you're right. That's a tremendous message, and you don't hear anything about that. All you hear about is these claims of racial insensitivity and stereotyping in some of his books. So, Randy, that is a point well made. Thank you very much. Let's go to Ron in Virginia. Ron, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fine. This is West by God, Virginia.
All right. Good.
All right.
Good.
So, yeah, I was just listening to you earlier in the show about, you know, discussing with the whole slippery slope of the Chinese government, communist Chinese government, edging and kind of oozing into the fabric of our government here. And it's just... I don't want to use the word frightening, but it's bothersome.
And Ron, into everything, not just government, into everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's disturbing. You're right.
Right into the fabric of our, you know, family units. And it just reminds me of something that I remember as a kid. My mom, of all things, liked Limburger cheese. And she said to me, take a bite of this. I was probably 5 or 6 years old. And I said, no way. And, you know, not speaking against Limburger cheese, because my mother liked it. I'm sure there's quite a few that do.
It's pungent, though. It's pungent.
Yeah. It's the sniff test. If it doesn't pass the, you know, just doesn't smell right, just doesn't, you know, look right, just doesn't, you know, you're best off to leave it be. And that's the way I feel about this current situation that we're I thought when we had that President Trump in there, we had someone to back for us.
Exactly. Yeah. You're right, Ron. The whole thing stinks, doesn't it? It really does, you know, like Limburger cheese. Ron, thank you so much for the call. The number, folks, is 888-589-8840. Look, I think some people on the left either don't understand or don't care that their constant denigration of our country has very pernicious long-term effects if it's not stopped. Because I may have shared this with you all before, but Germany marched into France and took over because France had gone through a long period of demoralizing the French people. And when they were challenged, they didn't even care enough about France to fight. Not all, but enough of them that Hitler took it in 6 weeks. Back in a moment.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training. Here's another of our core values. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values, and we thank you for your support.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years. And I would just like to tell you that prayer changes things. Yes, you grieve over the prodigal, but God will comfort you. The Holy Spirit will comfort you.
Submit a prayer request for a prodigal at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
My heart's desire is that more churches would start a prodigal box, because we all have someone.
inhisimage.movie/prayer.
A charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation is an excellent way to provide yourself with guaranteed permanent income while at the same time supporting the American Family Association. Here's what one supporter told us.
I very much want to see God's word continue into the next generation. This is a way I can help AFA spread the truth and promote their biblical stand. My experience with the AFA Foundation continues to remind me that I have a small part in helping AFA in the battle for our nation's values.
Financial planning is essential to your family. A charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation is one way you can support AFA and the health of our nation. The planners at the AFA Foundation are here to help you do the most with your finances. You can call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345, find us on Facebook, or email foundation@afa.net, and learn whether a charitable gift annuity is right for you.
All of a sudden, I can hear this racket over my head and this scratching and thumping and bumping and what could only be a bird falling into the stovepipe of our wood stove.
Kim Meter on Focus on the Family Minute.
And so I put a towel over the door and reached in carefully and drew her out. And I walked outside into the brilliant sunlight and just opened my fingers slowly. And she didn't ask questions. She didn't ponder. She flew hard and fast into the freedom that was offered her, and she never looked back. Mm. And I could hear Jesus saying, "Do you see that? Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Jesus Christ has set us free." And if we don't have freedom in any area of our life, and I'm pointing my finger at myself, it's for one reason only. I'm not choosing it.
Hear more from Kim at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. Let's come right back to your calls. And folks, I don't have a chance to bring up every topic I could. So if you want to bring up another topic that you think is relevant, feel free. And don't feel bound by the topics that I bring up, because believe me, there are others on my list, and I just have to stop in order to give time for you to call in and talk about the things that are on your mind too. So that's fine. Let's go to CJ in Louisiana. CJ, welcome.
Hello, how are you doing, Bishop?
I'm great, CJ. How are you?
Oh, I am doing fine, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm just calling to say, and this is what I want to say. We have those people who are calling good evil and evil good. There is so much going on, as you just said. I'm going to take all of this crazy stuff that the left is doing and that the scientists that are saying follow the science, the experts and all, and I'm going to put it all into one big gift box. And what I want to say is this. They have a holiday coming up next month, and I hope that they enjoy that holiday, because the Bible says that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. The Bible says, in the beginning, God, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And those very fools, unless they give their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to open that gift box, and they're going to stand before the white throne judgment, and they're going to be shown the very works that they are doing now. Mm. And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, because their name is not written in the book of life. And
amen. CJ, what can I say? You got it right. I don't quite know what that holiday is coming up next month. Maybe I missed that. Huh? What is it?
April Fool's. April Fool's Day.
Okay. Okay, CJ, I've got it. Listen, you're preaching, CJ. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. And you are absolutely right. And we hope it is always my prayer that people listening to the program, and I know that people listen to the program not because they're in agreement, but because they're hoping I will say something that they can then use against me and publish and say, look at the crazy thing he just said. But our hope is, our prayer is, that those people listening will catch the word, or the word will catch them, and they'll awaken and say, you know what? Wow. something touched me as a caller was speaking, or as EW was speaking, or as a commentary, Don Wildman's commentary got to me, but that something on this network will capture their hearts, and they will, as CJ suggested, surrender their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and live for Him. Let's go to Tim in Louisiana. Tim, welcome.
Well, hi, this is Tim. I'm a Baptist minister, and I've studied since I was a child history, religion, politics, war. My mom raised me to be a preacher. I walked away from it. But here's the thing. You need to understand communism. It is a segregationist thing. They keep people segregated because they can't unite. They can't unite against the government. Look at all the histories. I wish I could tell you all. They also exterminate people by choice. There's three major groups in China, Cantonese, Mandarin, and Han Chinese. They're their preferred groups. Now, the Uyghur, U-I-G-R, H-U-R, have been selected. They're 2.5% of the population of China have been selected for extermination because they chose a god. They became Muslim, mm-hmm. and so now they're sterilizing them. You can imagine what that is for a male, and they're sterilizing the women so that they cannot reproduce. The Uyghur only exists in China. It's kind of like America saying, let's get rid of 2.5% of our population. Well, what would that be? All the Asians or all the American Indians, mm-hmm. Native Americans? Mm-hmm. The thing is, China, all communists do this, and this is the people that want to invade America. If you don't think all communist nations wipe out 20 to 40% of their populations, their own people. So when it gets here, do you think they did it in Russia, they did it in China, they did it in Vietnam, that they're not going to do it here? Tibet was taken over by China, yeah. and only one-third of the population now is Tibetan. The rest are Han Chinese. They moved in for the what little agriculture they had. What do you mm-hmm. think they're selecting America for? Do you think they'll let any of us live?
Wow. Well, Tim, thank you so much for the call. Thank you for that rather pleasant thought. and I don't mean to laugh at that, but I hope we're a long way from having China come here and invade and start trying to wipe out Americans. And I hope that the American people will awaken to the threat, and they'll never come anywhere close to achieving that because we'll be so strong economically, militarily, and get this, most importantly, spiritually, that they wouldn't even think of it unless they're so totally deluded that they themselves are suicidal and want to be wiped out. So I hope we're a long, long way from anything like that happening, Tim. But you are absolutely right, and let me underscore this. Communism is, by definition, genocidal because they don't believe that the individual has any worth. So any individual who is in the way of the collective utopia that they're seeking to create can be murdered, and it's no big deal. In fact, it's a moral and a good thing to do, and that's why you've got graveyards all over the world littered with the millions, some estimated somewhere around 100 million bodies killed under communism. Thank you for the call, Tim. Let's go to, you've been very patient, George in Missouri. George, welcome.
Hey, EW, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Okay. These people, I think that they sit around at their desk and they think of all this gender stuff, and they're all getting high, and they got nothing better to do. They ought to do what I do. My wife has got dementia for 20 years, a slow progression, mm-hmm. and they ought to take care of another human being and see how that works out for them. But the other thing about this Chinese deal is, I think our own politicians are selling out, and even though we're paying them $174,000 a year, yeah. I guess that isn't enough. We need to, and it's our media that's trying to separate us all. I think, like Tim was saying, that it's our own people, and we're paying them. We're paying yeah. our own people, our own politicians. I hope in 2022, if we're still a viable
I'm confident that we will be, George, but go ahead.
I and you keep on talking, because people out here are listening, and maybe some of these people that got too much time, maybe they ought to get a vegetable garden going.
Okay. All right, George. Thank you for the call, George. Yeah, that's an interesting thought. Where do people find the time to sit around and think up this nonsense? I mean, for example, that school I talked about, Grace Church School, actually sent out a memo. The memo said, "Mom and Dad are inappropriate terms because they are not gender inclusive." Mom and Dad are inappropriate terms because they are not gender inclusive. You are so right. Where do people find the time to sit around and dream up this insanity? Thank you for the call, though, George. Let's go to Jan in Arkansas. Jan, welcome.
Hi. I think a lot of our problem is social media. I think that, you know, my friends that don't do social media, they seem like they have better lives than those that do. You know, and honestly, I think we just have too many ideas out there. And a lot of the problem with the world is people don't know how to agree to disagree. Like when I was in church, when I grew up in a Baptist church down in Arkadelphia, Arkansas, and listen, you know, I would have people in Sunday school, they would argue with each other over something, but they, at the end of the day, they were friends. They walked out of the church, they went to lunch together. You know, they may have some differences what they believe in the Bible a little bit, but at the end of the day, you know, people just go overboard nowadays. They go overboard. It just wasn't that way back in the 70s and the 80s. You know, people are just so different now. They get offended by everything. And, you know, I just think that Christians, we need to stand up for what's right. You know, I work in a place right now, and, you know, there's lesbian women that work here. You know, I'm fixing to go back to work, too. And, you know, I'm, as a Christian, they were talking about that, you know, being lesbian and this and that. And I stood up as a Christian, and I said, you know what? I have a husband. I am living the way God wants me to live.
You know, Praise God.
And they looked at me like I did something bad by saying that. But I was like,
listen, I got to go. That's a great point for our conversation to end on. Let me try to get one more call in before it's too late. Let's go to Amy in Texas. Amy, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. As an Asian American, I want to say one thing. The biggest threat to our country right now is the ports. We have a lot of Chinese businesses that have bought out several of the ports, one of them Corpus Christi. We have one of the largest bridges that is being built to allow the ships to come in. We have the Port of Brownsville that probably will be next. And we have the immigration problem that continues.
And, of course, we know people from all kinds of backgrounds are coming. Amy, you said you're Asian, right?
Yes.
Now,
Amy, I have not had...
Okay, go ahead. You know what I was going to ask you.
I have not had any threats. I live in the Brownsville area. There are many Asian Americans who live here.
Okay. Amy, I appreciate your calling. I appreciate that information about the ports. I was not aware of that. That's something we're going to look into, though. And Amy, thank you for your answer on that. See, here again, you're not experiencing threats and harassment, and the people you're living around aren't. It just makes you wonder, is this just part of the narrative to convince us all we're just a bunch of rubes and bigots and haters, and the least chance we get, we're going after people on the basis of the color of their skin? That's not the America that I know. Well, folks, that's going to do it for today. Great program. Because of you all, thank you very much. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.